Imagine a mum on a train station, and she's seeing off her daughter to university. Now, this has happened quite a few times and she said these goodbyes quite often because that's what happens when children go to uni. They bounce back. And there's the goodbyes, and then there's the long summer holiday when they come back, and then there's the goodbyes. And so this has happened quite a few times to this parent. And here she is again, saying her goodbyes. It's never an easy thing. There's always a touch of sadness in letting her go. And she gives her one last squeeze, and in her ear she says, "And just one more thing. And just one more thing." And then come all those last minute reminders. "Don't forget it's Grandma's birthday next week. Don't forget to sort your insurance out. Make sure you eat some fruit. Make sure you wrap up warm." All those things that are just one more thing you want to say. Because that's what mums do. They give an extra squeeze and they say, "And just one more thing." Well, Tim and I have 3 weeks to give you an extra squeeze and say, "Just one more thing. Just one more thing." We want to try and say something that you might remember. An extra squeeze and just one more thing. Do you know, I think that's what Jesus was doing. If you recall in John's Gospel in the Last Supper scene, there's quite a lot of chatting from Jesus going on. And he's trying to give them a last squeeze and say, "Just one more thing I want you to remember. I want you to remember. Remember, I'm the vine and you're the branches. You need to really stay close to me. And just one more thing. Remember, I'm going to send a helper, the Holy Spirit. So, you know, don't worry. And just one more thing. Remember to love each other like I'm loving you now as I'm washing your feet. Remember to love each other." I think that these are Jesus' parting words to his disciples. The just one more thing he wants them to remember. And so if it was you standing here where I am, I wonder what you would want all of us to remember. What would be your parting words? Well, you can tell me what your just one more thing would be afterwards if you like. I'd be all ears to hear what you would say. But we have 3 weeks to say just one more thing and to leave parting words. And so for the first word I want to whisper in your ear is, pray together. Pray together. Pray often as you do. Pray by yourself, as I'm sure you do. Pray throughout your day like the sunflower watching the sun, as you do. But also, and most vitally, pray together. Pray together. So let's pray together. Let's say the Lord's Prayer before we look at our Bible reading. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So a bit of context to our Bible reading. It's just after the days after Pentecost, and Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit. The beginning days of the church, quite chaotic days. And Peter and John have been an awfully long time at the temple. In fact, they left yesterday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and they haven't been seen since. Rumour has it that a lame man has been miraculously healed and that Peter and John have given Jesus all the credit. But this hasn't gone down well, and the temple authorities have seized Peter and John, and they're questioning him, and it's a bit difficult because the man stood there perfectly well. So it's quite hard for them to kind of gainsay what's going on. But they've banned them from using that name. You can't use that name anymore. Jesus has become a dangerous name. So let's read what the disciples therefore do.
Bible reading is found in Acts chapter 4, verse 23 to 35. Acts 4, starting at verse 23, page 1096 of the Church Bible, if you have that. So on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. And with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, and they brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Amen.
As requested, let's pray. Lord, we pray for Joe as she preaches your word this morning. May the words challenge our hearts as individuals. May it be the words you want us to hear. And may we act on that challenge that you make to each of us. Just bless and use Joe. In your name we ask it all. Amen.
I've had a quote on my office door, which has been there since really we first came to Arnold here. And it's a quote from a monastery called Ampleforth Abbey, which we visited on holiday one time. And there the monks gather for prayer at regular times throughout the day. There's this very, very strong rhythm. You can imagine the Benedictine monks gathering at certain hours of the day, very early in the morning and then on through the day to the early evening. And really prayer so much a part of their working rhythms. It was prayer, work, meals and rest is about what their day was divided up into. And this quote says this, work sustains the community and prayer is the community's work. Work sustains the community and prayer is the community's work. In other words, prayer is the community's chief purpose. Its chief work is to pray together. The life and the breath of the community is its prayer together. And so prayer is like breathing. It's got a rhythm to it. Just like the rhythm of breathing, there is a rhythm to prayer. Well, I don't think we're a monastery, looking around, but we are a community of God's people. And prayer together is not only precious, but it's vital for our well-being as God's community. The rhythm of prayer is like the rhythm of the church's heart and lungs. And if there is no breath, we all know what happens. There's no life, is there, without breathing. And we need to breathe in and breathe out the Holy Spirit. We need to breathe in and breathe out the Spirit of God. And that's why for Tim and myself, our bi-monthly prayer together as church, the 24 one times that we've shared together, have been an essential part of the rhythm of this church. Yes, we have all sorts of opportunities to pray together. We should grasp them all. On a Sunday, there's some opportunity in your cell groups. There's a good opportunity to meet and pray together, isn't there, about the issues that you're facing as a cell together. And, of course, pray for one another's needs as we do. But what makes this gathering, this regular gathering that we've called 24-1, is that it brings together the missional focus of the whole church. So the things that we have been hearing about from God, the things we've been teaching and praying together on a Sunday, the plans that we have going forward, the vision of the church as it moves forward, as well as those times for intercession and thanksgiving and prayer for one another. 24-1, that gathering together, is a time to get in the flow, to seek God together. It's time to breathe together. And really, together is the operative word. If we look at the context of our Bible reading, where the disciples were meeting together on the return of Peter and John, what is their immediate reaction to the news that things are getting tough, things are hotting up? So the news that Peter and John have been detained and questioned and forbidden to speak and teach in the name of Jesus. How do they react to the news that things are going to start getting really difficult for all of them who are now meeting in the name of Jesus? Do they give up meeting together? Do they say, it's too risky, let's just lie low for a little bit? Do they say, I'm going to have some time out until things die down? No. They gather. They get together. And they pray. They get together and they pray. And they raise their voices. Now, I bet there's not a long gap waiting for the next person to speak. I have the feeling it's that type of prayer meeting where you're not just kind of waiting forever for someone to pluck up the courage, you know, to grasp that nettle and say something. I think that there was no polite taking of turns because they wanted to raise their voices, to petition God, to praise the name of God, and to depend on him in every way. I get a sense of intensity as I read these words. Their voices were raised together. They were up against it, so they pray. And the first thing that they do, if you've got your Bibles open at that place, you'll see the first thing they do is they praise and magnify God. They do the hallowed be thy name bit. You know, we've just prayed together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. He said, first of all, start off with praise, because God is God. Your face has got to turn that way. Start off with praise. They remember in their prayer that it's God who made the earth and the heavens and everything in it. He's the mighty God of creation. And he's the God of all their history, who spoke through the Holy Spirit to their ancestor David. They want to say, I'm coming before you, God, who's been there from the beginning and who has the plan. This is who you are, God, and this is who we are, the people of your salvation story. And this is a confident prayer because they know who God is and they know who they are. They're the children of God. And then in their prayer, they do the thy kingdom come bit. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. They say, enable us to speak your word with boldness. We want to see your kingdom come. Stretch out your hand and perform signs and wonders. We want to see your kingdom come through the dangerous name of Jesus. What are they saying? They are saying, we want to see people changed and transformed and healed and saved by you, by your name, Jesus, because of who you are and what you've done. And we realize as well that as we pray this dangerous name in the dangerous name of Jesus, dangerous prayer rather, it's not just a prayer, it's a call to action. The focus is clear. You know, the focus isn't keep us safe, wrap us up, disable our enemies, show us the way out. The focus is help us to be about your kingdom. And even if that's hard, and even if that's dangerous, help us to be about your kingdom, Lord. The focus is your business, Lord. Let's be about your kingdom. Let's be about telling others about Jesus and living just like him. So then they go and do it. Did you read on the verses as Tim read them? They go on and they live out the prayer because it says the apostles continued to boldly testify to the resurrection of Jesus in words. And then the community lived out the resurrection of Jesus in their actions as they shared their possessions, as they sold what they had and gave it to the gathering, to the church, as they lived out their life of sacrifice and humility, as they became this community of Jesus. They lived out the prayer that they had made. Prayer together is the life and breath of the community. And so the question comes, what if they hadn't prayed? What if there was no prayer in the community? What do you think would have happened if they hadn't gathered to pray? If they had taken the safe option? There would be no mission, no purpose, no power, no presence of God, and frankly, no point. Because prayer gathered them together in his presence, in his purpose, in his power. Now I'm going to talk about rivers. I had a new thought on holiday. Do you ever have those? And it's probably a thought that, you know, you've had all the time. But it just came to me that because we were travelling on a map, you know, and I'm made to follow it, I have to kind of make sure I'm right. Do you know what Tim does? He does a schedule for me so that each major town, I have to write down the mileage and the time it's taken us to get there. Because he doesn't want me to sleep. So I have to kind of follow the map. So there I am, diligently writing it all down, following the map. And what I discovered, very diligently, what I discovered was all the major cities are on rivers. Did you know that? And if you think of a city, it's on a river. Any city, think of a city. In fact, we'll have a bit of a competition. I'll name the city, you name the river. Liverpool. Bath. Oh, we are good. London. Derby. The Derwent. Edinburgh. The Forth. Oh, and Nottingham. And you know, it's a common fact across the world. Did you know that? I mean, had you thought about it before? Or was it a new thought for me? Yes, well done. So, yes, cities are built on rivers, and that's because rivers, not foremostly are the toilet, Roger, but because they bring life to the city, don't they? They're the connection, aren't they? That's where the wealth came in, and the commerce and the trading, the life of the city was the river. It was their wealth and their water supply. In Psalm 46, which starts, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. It goes on to say, can you read it? There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. I did kind of wonder why that was in that psalm. I had to think about it quite a lot. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Now, the strange thing is, Jerusalem's not built on a river. That's strange, isn't it? There is a small stream from a spring at Gihon, but no major water supply. The river which makes glad the city of God is not a physical river. It's the river of his presence. The river of his presence. The life-giving presence of God flowing through the community of God's people. I want to see the life-giving presence of God flowing through his community. And you know when Jesus declared to hundreds of pilgrims in Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles on the last day of the feast, when the water from that little pool at Siloam, which has its source at the Gihon, this tiny stream, is fetched and poured as an offering to God in the temple in front of hundreds of pilgrims. And Jesus said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Can you imagine the hairs on your neck going up as you listen to Jesus saying these words at that moment in the festival? The river which makes glad the community of God's people is the presence of God, is the life-giving water of Jesus Christ. Here's something else that's been on my wall a long time. God gave me this picture and this prayer not long after we'd been here, and it was during a time of prayer together. Do you see how important it is that we pray together? You won't be able to read it all because it's quite small. But you can see what it is. It's the front of this building here. But it's open. It's completely open. It's not shut. And it's open, but it's not just open, it's flowing. It's flowing in and out It's God's Holy Spirit flowing in and out of this place. The Holy Spirit is the river. And the key to the river is prayer together. Prayer together. It says, break open our hearts. Open our hearts. Break our hearts. Make us open-hearted. Break us, God. Give us your heart. What is Nottingham's river? It's the Trent, isn't it? But in fact, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of Nottingham. There is a movement of prayer together in this city. Have you picked it up? Have you picked up on this movement? There is a river flowing. Because churches get together to pray in this city, there's a call to prayer in the churches of this city. And the Salvation Army churches in the city feel it too. There's a call to prayer together. The life-giving presence of God fills the churches where people unite to pray. There is a river in this city. And so as Tim and I prepare to leave, we want to urge you to keep praying together. Keep praying together. As a church, together, with other churches, with other Salvation Army centres across the city, determine to seek God together. Now, don't leave it to the ones who you think are good at praying. You know, we could all list off the people we think are good at praying, but God wants you to pray. Every sunflower in that field turns its face to the sun. Doesn't leave it to one or two. Every face to the sun. And we all need to pray. And if you find it hard to pray out loud, that's fine. Just be in the community that's praying. Pray in your heart. But pray together. Pray together. Determine to seek God together. Continue as you do to allow the Spirit to flow through you and into the community. Because I see the doors open more now. But the vision isn't over, is it? That, you know, we need to push out into our community. We need the river to flow into our community. The community needs the river. Yeah, it's not, we need it, but the community needs that river to flow. Continue to allow the Spirit to flow through you and into the community, bringing glory to the wonderful name of Jesus. Does that make your heart smile? When we say that, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. We just want to glorify the name of Jesus. Yeah, it's not a dangerous name in our community. What is it? It's an ignored name. It's a belittled name. But I believe that as you speak the name of Jesus, things happen. Chains fall off. There's a breakthrough in people's lives if you dare to speak the name of Jesus. Your name be the glory because of your love and your faithfulness. Amen. So let's just be in prayer for a few minutes, be in worship.